Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Calder. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. What do you really believe? What do you believe about God? What do you believe about the Bible? What do you believe about life? What do you know about the purpose of life? Why are we here? Where are we going? Well, that all depends on what you really believe and who you really believe. And as we will see, there are some things that are automatic with the human mind that are the result that goes all the way back to Adam and Eve when they decided for themselves they would decide what was good and evil rather than believe God and what He says is good and evil. Now, how about you? What do you really believe? Now, since we left off in the book of Romans, let's read it here, Romans the 8th chapter, just a few pages over from where we left off last time. This tells us something very important concerning the human mind, because that's where we decide for our own personal lives what is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is evil. And why is it that people naturally have an enmity or resistance against God? Even to the point of declaring that there is no God. Yet they cannot explain creation, human life, animal life, why we're here, where we're going. And yet they want to go their own way. See? Well, the truth is, God has set before us choices, life and death, good and evil, blessing and cursing. And He wants us to love Him and obey His voice. Now, we'll get to that a little bit later. But here in Romans 8, verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. A lot of people believe that there is a creator. But then you ask them the next question. Are you willing to obey Him? Are you willing to keep His laws and commandments as found in the Bible? Oh, no. I don't need that, but I do believe there is a God. Let's see what the Bible says. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, and that's the root for enemy, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. That is of its own. So on its own, let's see how that blocks out true belief as defined in the Scriptures. True belief that can come from God. Now let's come back here to Jeremiah. Jeremiah the 10th chapter. Now here's a prophet of God, Jeremiah, who was called to warn the Jews and Judah in the 600 B.C., getting down into the 500 B.C. And he prophesied 40 years. And he had to see all of the sin and all of the troubles and all the rebellion that all the people went through because they did everything that they wanted to do and rejected God. And he knew this. Verse 23, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his steps. It's not in us. It has to come from God, outside source, and we'll see what that has to be. Now let's see something else over here. Jeremiah 17. Now as we go through these things, I want you to ask yourself these questions. What do I believe? How do I react? Do I understand that I'm deficient and need God and need His way? Or do I think that I have everything I need to lead my life? All I have to do is think better, be more successful, and everything like that, and I can pull myself up by my own bootstraps? Well, why has 6,000 years of human history been so terrible and calamitous with wars and troubles and difficulties if man was complete and could really think the way he needs to avoid all of these things? I mean, look at the United States today and the world today. They believe so many lies. There is so much sin. There is so much evil going on that it's barely going to be recoverable by human efforts. Yes, human beings can improve it somewhat. But there is one thing that a human being can never do. Because when Jeremiah said he knows the way of man is not in him to direct his steps, that means this. The human mind has the ability, but not the capacity, to do things good and right according to the laws of God. Rather, hear Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now, you may say, well, that doesn't apply to me. I'm a good person. Really? How many lies have you believed? So I beg of you, please, take this one verse and write that down. Then write down the Ten Commandments of God and sit down in front of your television and go through whatever channels you want to go through and check off, are these lies? Are they deceitful? Are they evil? Are they striving after evil? Or are they righteous and keep the Ten Commandments of God? Then likewise, do the same thing with music. What does it breed? Especially all this rap music, kill the cops. All the rock music. What does that do to the mind? Desperately wicked. All right? Look at all of the new movie releases. Now, once in a while, they put out a pretty good movie, even though it can be inspiring and uplifting and lighthearted and so forth. You look at it and ask, how many lies does that really palm off to us in a sense of humor?
What was that?
And that is desperately wicked to use such a device to convey evil into the minds of people to get them to change their behavior according to what they are seeing. Desperately wicked above all things. Notice, who can know it? Do you know your own mind? The very depths of it? Do you lie? Do you cheat? Do you steal? Do you lust? All these things in your mind? Or do you actually do it? See? Now, there are degrees of how people give themselves to it. But let's come to the book of Proverbs here, Proverbs 16. Now, this is to answer the question, why do people not believe God? And why is it that down deep inside of us, we desire good, but we can never do it? And how are we able to change that so we won't be that way? All right. Proverbs 16 and verse 25. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. Overlay that on everything that you see. Government, finance, education, religion. And everyone is convinced that he or she is right. And if they believe that, that's their belief. And some people will believe a lie, claiming its truth, even unto death. Now, that's how strong our choices are, and that's how strong our belief system is. I come over here to verse 2. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits. It's all clean. It's all right. Yes, indeed. Whatever I do, if I decide it, it's fine. What happens? Here you are. You have a mind. Now, you may be a pleasant person, but that doesn't mean you can't be hostile to God. I've talked to very pleasant, nice people, and I explained to them about the seventh-day Sabbath. That's what God created and made and commanded man to keep, okay? And they're fervent Sunday keepers. They believe all the lies concerning Sunday. Okay? And we can add in there the holidays versus the holy days. And they are convinced that they are absolutely right. And they say, well, you know, that's not just the way I see it. Question. What do they believe? A lie. How do they view it? As clean and right in their own eyes. Isn't that true? Yes, indeed. Now then, let's come to Matthew, the 13th chapter. This is a very good chapter to read. See, because God always, constantly is laying out choices for us to do. It occurs every day in our lives. Now, what does this kind of mindset do when people hear the word of God? Let's take one commandment. You shall not bear false witness. Do you lie to yourself? Do you lie to other people? They've run surveys, and they have shown and know that a person lies about twice every 11 minutes. Just the way their minds work. Okay? Now, what happens when you hear the truth? Will you reject it, even being nice like these Sunday keepers? Or will you accept it and prove it whether it is true or not? Now, what happens if you don't accept it? All right, let's read it. Matthew 13, verse 10. And his disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to them, that is, the multitudes, in parables? And he answered and said to them, because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. Why? Everybody can have a Bible and read it, but why were the disciples of Jesus able to understand and the people not? Well, we just read, the way of man is not in himself to direct his steps. There's a way that seems right to a man. The ends thereof are the ways of death. Every way of a man is clean in his own eyes. The heart is wicked and deceitful above everything. Okay? Now, that gives a person a choice. Doesn't matter how your mind is, can be like that, very hostile about it, or not quite so hostile, but still doing the same thing. So when you hear the truth, gives you a choice. What will you do? What will you believe? Because you see, the first enemy against belief of God is your own human carnal mind. And here is the test. Come back here to verse 9. The one who has an ear to hear, let him hear. Now, that's a very interesting statement. Because if you hear what God says and you begin to do it, then you hearken to the voice of God. And remember, in hearken, there is the word hear. Let's come down here to verse 12. For whoever has understanding, to him shall more be given, and he shall have an abundance, but whosoever does not have understanding, even what he has shall be taken away from him. Automatic thing. If you hear the word of God and you reject it and you go your own way, then whatever understanding you have, so there is a blindness that takes place. Automatic law. You can't see the blindness. You can't understand the blindness because it is your own choice that causes the blinding. See, because our minds can be opened or our minds can be closed. Have you ever dealt with someone who has an absolute closed mind that will not listen to any truth, even rational, true understanding of something? How about the flat earthers? Try that on for size. Okay? Now then, verse 13. For this reason I speak to them in parables, because seeing, they see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. Now ask yourself this question. What do I see and what do I hear? And what do I understand? Now we're beginning to understand the key. What you hear of the Word of God, especially if it is very understandable, you must obey it. Because if you don't, you're pulling blinders down over your eyes. And as we'll see a little later, Satan the devil is right there to help you pull down the blinders. So you're confronted with a choice. All right? Let's read on. For in them is fulfilled a prophecy of Isaiah, which says, in hearing you shall hear and no way understand, and in seeing you shall see and no way perceive. For the heart of this people has grown fat, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. I don't want to see it. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to know anything about it. Don't bother me with that. Let's do it this way. Let's take a little test. Do you keep Christmas? Well, the whole world does. Why do you keep it? Well, to celebrate Jesus' birth. Question, how many gifts do you give to him? Well, we do it for the kiddies. All right. Why? Here's the reason. Everything about Christmas is a lie. Jesus was never born on December 25th. Oh, but the church says so. That's a lie. Well, we do it because it's fun. Now, that may be a true statement. What about the Christmas tree? Oh, lovely Christmas tree. Yes, they even have a hymn on it. Oh, Christmas tree, oh, Christmas tree, don't they? Yes, okay. And it's all decorated. Have you ever looked at a Christmas tree? And did you know that Jeremiah 10, the first part of the chapter, says, you're not to do as the heathen and go out and cut down a tree and make it stand up and decorate it and make it a religious object. Did you know that was there, in the Bible?
Here's the tree. Timber! Whoa! Aria.
Stand up.
Stand up and go touch our Christmas tree. There we go. Another Christmas tree.
Yep. Christmas tree. What do they generally get? An evergreen tree, right? They don't go out and cut a tree down that drops all of its leaves, but they get an evergreen, okay? And they cut it down. And then they put a stand on it so it'll stand up, or if they don't want to buy that, they get a complete fake one with lights and everything on it, and all you have to do is drag it out once a year and plug it in, right? But it's still a Christmas tree, is it not? Now, let's look at it. What does that actually symbolize? Because nowhere does God say you should do it. So that is against God. And if it is against God, you are practicing a lie. But what are you really doing? That is actually a celebration of eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which God said you shall not eat. And notice, they always have the wonderful intertwining of decorations going from the bottom of the tree to the top, with a star on the top. Guess what that symbolizes? The serpent, Satan, the devil, who deceived Eve. What is the star on top? Star on top symbolizes Satan the devil. Now, how about all the decorations that you put there? Okay? All the nice, pretty little bulbs and things like that. They're all sex symbols. And you're going to honor the God of truth who says, you shall not do so, and think that you're pleasing to him? Is that not a way that we just saw how men think and women think? All right. Now, what happens when you do that? You don't hear the word of God. You don't have understanding of truth. And you have chosen the way of the world and Satan, the devil, and you think it's right. So, question. How many lies do you believe? What do you believe? Why do you accept a lie as truth? Remember where we started? Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. You can write in for our booklet, The Greatest Story Never Told. Isn't Santa Claus a lie? Reindeer's a lie. The sleigh a lie. Coming down the chimney is a lie. You know, but little children are so gullible, they can never figure out that a man that big and fat, how's he going to get down this little chimney? And you lie to your children.
Here's a letter from Robert in Washington. He writes, Dear Santa, how do you get down a chimney? That's the magic dust that I sprinkle that lets me slide right down the chimney with my presents. I want you to listen to your parents, clean up your rooms, and be nice to others, because I'll be checking up on you, and I want to put you on my nice list.
Question, do you know who the Bible says the author of lying is? Satan the devil. So you believe that this is a good thing that we should do. The whole world does it. And even the greatest religious leader on earth, the Pope, celebrates midnight mass at St. Peter's Basilica. Question. Do you grasp the enormity of the rebellion and resistance against God? Now, what does this do? How do you like me telling you this? You may not like it, and you may, you know, there may have some already turned it off. Because you're exactly like Matthew 13 says. In seeing, you don't perceive. In hearing, you don't hear or understand. And what does that do? That makes your heart, your mind, even more recalcitrant against God. Now, there are many other such practices you can add into that. So once again, I'm going to ask the question, what do you really believe? And we'll add in another sentence. Why do you believe it? So be sure and ask for the booklet, The Greatest Story Never Told. Be sure and ask for the book, From a Speck of Dust to a Son of God, Why Were You Born? And we'll just give you one more. Now, all of this free. Why Christianity is Failing in America? And the answer is simple. And this explains it. They believe lies. And if you believe lies, you cut yourself off from God. And you can't bring your lies to God that you think are good and tell God that you're doing this for Him. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. Be sure and visit our other website, truthofgod.org, where we're dedicated for the truth of God. No traditions, no lies, none of that. Just straight biblical teaching, hundreds of sermons, and a lot of stuff you can download. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.